ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்ய யதஹ. சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்துவ சமன்வயாத். சாப்டர் 1 செக்ஷன் 3 பாதா 3. ஜிவ்வாததிகரணம் ஜிவ்வாத்யாயதனம் ஸ்வசப்தாத் முக்தோபஸ்ருப்ய வபதேசாத் ந அனுமானம் அதச்சப்தாத் பிராணபிருச்ச பேதவியபதேசாத் பிரகரணாத் ஸ்தித்யதானாப்யாம் ச. பூமாதிகரணம் பூமா சம்ப்ரசாதாத் அத்யுபதேசாத் தர்மோபபத்தேஷ்ச. அக்ஷராதிகரணம் அக்ஷரம் அம்பராந்த த்ருதேஹே சாச்ச பிரசாசனாத் அன்யபாவ வியாவ்ருத்தேஷ்ச. ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாத் சஹ. தஹராதிகரணம் தஹர உத்தரேப்யஹ கதிசப்தாப்யாம் ததாஹி த்ருஷ்டம் லிங்கஞ்ச. த்ருதேஷ்ச மஹிம்னஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்மின் உபலப்தேஹே பிரசித்தேஷ்ச. இதர பராமர்ஷாத் ச இதி சேத் நாசம்பவதி. உத்தராச்சேத் ஆவிர்பூத ஸ்வரூபஸ்து. ஸோ வி ஹவ் பீன் சீயிங் தி 13th சூத்ரா ஆஃப் தி 3rd பாத் ஆஃப் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் 82nd ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. திஸ் இஸ் தஹராதிகரணம். அண்ட் ஆஸ் வி சா எஸ்டர்டே, த டீச்சிங் பை பிரஜாபதி டு இந்திரா அண்ட் விரோச்சனா இஸ் கிவன் இன் தி 8th சாப்டர் of Chandogya Upanishad, 7th section. And the 4th mantra there talks about Atma as Akshi Purushaha, that which is seen in the eyes of the self. Now, Acharya gives two reasons in his Bhashyam to establish that Akshi Purusha is Akshi Sakshi, Sthula Sharira, etc., Sakshi only. So, the reason one is, we say that as we ask the Purvapakshi to read the mantra again, because many times he doesn't read it completely and gives his conclusions. So if you read the mantra, what it says, Tauha Prajapati Ruvacha Ya Yesho Akshini Purusho Drishyata Yesha Atmeti Hovacha Etad Amritam Abhayam Etad Brahmeti Atayoyam Bhagavaham அப்சு பரிக்யாயதே யச்சாயம் ஆதர்ஷே கதம ஏஷ இத்யேஷ ஊயேவைஷு சர்வேஷ்வந்தேஷு பரிக்யாயத இதி ஹோ வாச. தஹராகாஷா இஸ் த வேக்கர் அண்ட் திஸ் வேக்கர் இஸ் அமிர்தம், இட் இஸ் இம்மார்டல், அபயம், எவர் செக்யூர். நவ் வி ஆர் ஆஸ்கிங், டெல் மீ, இஃப் த வேக்கர் இஸ் டேக்கன் அஸ் வாச்சியார்த்தா, the conscious entity alone with the body, along with the body, the normally understood vekar jiva is like that, because it's a conscious entity along with the body, can you say he is immortal? He is punarapi jananam punarapi maranam cycle. Can vekar jiva be fearless? No. So the sense of insecurity is ever with the jiva. Therefore, vachyartha jiva can never be abhaya jiva, immortal jiva. So Prajapati says abhayam means the vekar jivas, the consciousness, that is the witness consciousness alone, and not jivatma and jiva shariram. And this is repeated in the next stage also, in swapna avastha and in sushupti avastha also, etat amritam etat abhayam, that is repeated. Therefore lakshyartha jiva only should be taken. And Prajapati also says in the end, ஏதத் பிரம்மன். சோ விஸ்வா இஸ் பிரம்ம, தைஜசா இஸ் பிரம்ம, Prajna is Brahman, provided you take the Lakshyartha, the right meaning. That is what Siddhanti tells Purvapakshi. This is first answer. Then the second answer is given by Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam. Here he says, he takes the fourth stage of teaching. First three stages are what? Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna. Sula Shariram, Sukma Shariram and Karna Shariram. Then the second one is given by Shankara, where the fourth stage he takes, and the previous three stages are Vishwata Jisa Prajna, the mantra 8.12.3 of Chandogya, fourth stage of teaching of Dharakasha. But it says, Yesha Samprasadaha. Yesterday I mentioned about this word Samprasadaha, important word. So Yesha Samprasadaha Asmat Sharirat Samuttaya. That's what 8.12.3 says. Yesha samprasadaha asmat shariratim samuttayam paranjyotihi upasampadyam svena rupena abhi nishpadyate. It's an important mantra and a very important bhashyam also by Shankaracharya. Here Prajapati says, Dharakasha taught of as Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, that this is the Turiyam, separate from Stula Sukshma Karna Shariram. This is the fourth one. Separate from Sharira Trayam. And then Prajapati says, when the conscious entity is separated from Sharira Trayam, it merges with Brahman Paranjyotihi Upasampadya. Asmat Sharirat Samuttaya. Each word is important here. The consciousness separated from the body, asma sharira, from the shariram samuttaya, separated. And what does it do? Paranjyotihi upasampadya, merges into Brahman. Paranjyoti is Brahman. By making this statement, Upanishad contributes to our confusion only now. Merges means what? One may think that one separates the Jiva Chaitanyam and maybe pour that Chaitanyam to Brahma Chaitanyam and to Moksha. People may be led to believe like that. This may add to confusion. Therefore, it says, Svena Rupena Abhinishpadyate. This is very important line. Svena Rupena. Based on this line only, the Advaita teaching is also centered here. Many corollaries of Advaita are due to this particular statement, Svena Rupena Abhisnishpadyate. First it was said, Jivatma Chaitanyam merges into Brahma Chaitanyam. That's what was said first. And so when we said it could be a confusing statement. And this statement then is refined as Jiva Chaitanyam emerges Abhinishpadyate. Svena Rupena, in its original form. What does it mean? The Jivatma, in its original nature, is Paramatma only. So the fourth stage, the original natured Jivatma is talked about. Original natured Jivatma means what? Paramatma only. Original nature of Jivatma is Paramatma only. So the original natured Jivatma is talked about. That is the Lakshyartha Jivatma, not the Vachyartha Jivatma, literal meaning, in the fourth stage. Now the Purvapakshi may say, in the fourth stage, original nature Jivatma is talked about, understand. Okay, no problem. But what about the first three states? It may be Jivatma. Father Shankaracharya says, in each stage, Prajapati says, he says in each stage, I am teaching you the same Dharakasha. In each state, Vishwa, Taijasa, Prajna, in each state, Jagra, Supna, Avastha, and Sushupti Avastha, he says, I am teaching you same Dharakasha. Who says? Prajapati. That is yetam tu eva bhuyaha anuvyakyasyami. That's what he says. Anuvyakyasyami. I am not talking about two different topics, but only the same topic. Therefore, the first stage, three stages are also the same alone. And Shankaracharya argues, if the fourth stage talks about Lakshyartha Jivatma, then the first three stages also should be talking about the same Lakshyartha Jivatma alone. And what is the logic for this? Because in each stage, Prajapati repeats the same thing. Yetam tu eva bhuyaha vyakhyasyami. Again, this is the statement, second statement. This argument Shankaracharya gives. So that is all the four stages must be talking about the Lakshyartha only, Lakshyartha Jivatma only. Therefore, the second argument and the second stage and the third stage also. So he comes to fourth stage and then argues the previous three stages. Therefore, the conclusion is what? In all the four stages, what are the four stages? Vishwa, Taijasa, Pragya, of these three Shariratrayam, and also the fourth stage here. So Lakshyartha Jivatma alone is talked about, which is identical with Paramatma. Therefore, Daharakasha is Paramatma only. Then the Purvapakshi comes with another objection. He says, I am not worried of the fourth stage, but I am worried about the three stages only, first three stages only. It looks redundant, but he says that Prajapati makes it clear that Prajapati hints of the fact that the same topic is discussed in all stages. At the end of the 8th, 9th, 10th and the 12th sections, the mantra says the same topic that is discussed, which means that whatever is discussed in the fourth stage, which is non-controversial, is alone discussed in the first three stages also. It means the first three stages are also Vishwam, Taijasam, and Pragyam, all of them same Paramatma only, that is discussed. And similarly, the fourth stage also, so this is possible only if you take the Lakshyartha Jiva, Lakshyartha Jivatma, which is equal to Paramatma. So the objection is based on what? The 8.12.3, that mantra of Chandogya, 8th chapter, 12th section, 3rd mantra, which we saw earlier, Eva Mevaisha Samprasadaha. I told this Samprasada word is important. Asma Shariratim Samuttaya Paranjyotihi Upasampadhya Svena Rupena Abhinishpatyade Padyate Sa Uttama Purushaha Sa Tatram Paryeti Jashat Kridan Ramanamanaha Stri Birvam Yanairvam Yati Birvam Nopajanagam Smaranti, Smaranim, Idagum, Shariram, Sa Yata, Prayogya, Acharane, Acha Prayogya, Acharane, Yuktam, Eva Mevayam, Aspin Sharire, Pranam, Prano, Yuktaha. When Vishwa, Taijasa, and Pragya comes out of the body, it merges and becomes one with the Paranjyotihi, and it emerges out in its Brahma Swarupam, Paramjyotiki Upasampadya. A very confusing statement it is. Jiva gets out of the three Sharirams is one confusion, and it gets merges with Paramatma is another confusion. So Purvapaksha asks the question, you say Brahman is the very nature of Jivatma, and the nature is that which obtains and all the time. So Swabhavam or Swarupam is that which is never lost, which is always there. So emerging in its original form is a contradiction for that. Only when some impurity is there and after removing the impurity, the Atma gets its original form, that we can accept. But it cannot emerge out of original form, and it is not even covered by impurity, because Asangam Brahman cannot have any impurity. How there can be impurity in Brahman? The question is, what is the meaning of emerging out in Brahman form? What does it mean? That is his question. And what process is that? According to you, there is no process involved. It is not an end product of any process. That is the question of emerging out. This is the question, who says? Purvapakshi says. And Shankaracharya says, emergence in the form of Brahman, merging with Brahman and all those things are not actual event taking place anytime, anywhere. Jivatma was Paramatma, Paramatma was Jivatma, and will be Paramatma only. Shankaracharya says impurity is your notion that you are impure. There is no impurity other than the notion that I am impure. I said, I am this impure notion. That means the sthula shariram has got impurity that we know. Sukshma shariram, there is lot of impurity. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mata, matsaryadi, all of them are impurities. Doshas of sthula shariram, sukshma shariram. And karana shariram is what is ajnanamalam, full of ignorance only. And it is impure, anadi, ignorance, that's all. The basic mula avidya. So it is impure. And we talk about I, the Atma, is ever pure. And the impurity is only a notion. I am embodied is only a notion. If the impurity is the form of notion, the removal of impurity is also nothing but dropping of the notion only. And it is only an intellectual process. Our samsara is an intellectual process, that I am a samsari. Moksha also is an intellectual process to drop the notion of avidya or samsara. Aviveka is equal to samsara and viveka is equal to moksha. Viveka takes place only in the intellect. Aviveka also takes place in the intellect only. Therefore, Shankaracharya says here, viveka, aviveka matram, other than knowledge, no process is involved to become ashariram. The topic is actually elaborately discussed before. Tattu samanvaya, in that fourth sutra, in that fourth adhikaranam, we had discussed this matter in some detail. So the embodied person is samsari. By embodied means the person is the body consciousness. And unembodied person gains moksha. And that is the essence of this statement. Shariratvam samsaraha, ashariratvam mokshaha. And actually in Kathopanishad also, there is in the first section, first chapter, second section, 22nd mantra says, ashira ashariragum sharireshu anavasteshu astitam mahantam vibhum atmanam matva dhiraha na shochati. Then Shankaracharya quotes this statement. Purvapakshi says that you are trapped. The embodied person is samsari, unembodied person is muktaha. So when Shankaracharya quotes it, he says that as long as jiva's body is there, jivan mukta is impossible. Embodied jiva cannot. He says, see, now it is sadehaha, with the body. And that is why you talk about viveka, you gain it. You gain viveka and all you say. And from the Shruti statement, Veda Vakyam, Sadeha Mukti is a contradiction. Jivan Mukti is Sadeha Mukti, along with body to get Mukti is a contradiction. Who says? Purvapakshi. Shankaracharya says, you are ever unembodied one only. You are Nitya Vivekaha. And he further adds that Atma does not become Sadeha because Atma is Asangaha. And it can never get connected with the body. Sadehatvam is the notion that I am embodied, is sadehaha. During that notion, I entertain, I am sadehaha, and also I am videhaha after the death. So Shankaracharya quotes the Kathopanishad mantra 1.2.22 as above. Moksha is nothing other than knowledge. It cannot remove the notion that I am sadehaha. Abhinishpatihi nama vivekaha. Jivatma emerging as paramatma is nothing but the knowledge. Jivatma emerging as paramatma is dropping the notion that I am jivatma. No physical process happening. Only an intellectual process. With this, the last Purvapakshi is also answered. And the general analysis of this sutra is also over. Now let us take the word analysis. First word is uttarat, second word is chet, third one is avirbhuta swarupatam, and fourth is tu. So if jivatma and paramatma is eternally one, why should the Upanishad negate them? They are jivatma, paramatma are eternally one. Why should the Upanishad negate them? Upanishad does not negate it. Because we have the notion of difference and Upanishad negates the notion held by Jiva that he is not Paramatma. Upanishad does not distinguish them, but it only tries to remove the notion. You add two words in the beginning, Dharakasha and Jiva, and before Uttarat. You should add them before. Dharakasha and Jiva is added before Uttarat. So Dharakasha is Jivatma Uttarat because of the latest description, Uttarat. Later description of Dharakasham as Vishwa Taijasa and Pragya in 8.7.4, 8.10.1, and 8.11.1 of Chandogya, it is said as waker, dreamer, and sleeper, that is Jivatma. Now the answer is, here we supply Jiva, the word Jiva, and we say, we do agree that Jiva reference is there in the mantra. Yes, reference to Jiva is there. Avirbhuta Swarupaha, Lakshyartha Jivaha, Jiva in secondary meaning and not in the Vachyartha meaning. We take it in its exposed nature. So Stula Shariram, Sushma Shariram, and Karna Shariram, and we see the waker minus Jagradavastha, dreamer minus Swapnavastha, sleeper minus Sushupti Avastha. So the three avasthas are three layers, and now we get exposed Vishwa, exposed Taijasam, and exposed to Prajna. So we get Avirbhuta Swarupam Yasya Jivaha. So we get Jivaha in its secondary meaning, that is Brahman. Primary meaning is Jiva. Dahara Akasha deals with Lakshyartha Jiva, which is none other than Paramatma. Therefore, the word tu means, therefore, the objection is negated. The tu is a very important word that in Tattu Samanvaya, we spend a lot of time to discuss that. Therefore, the Purvapakshi, so Nishedartha indicates the negation of Purvapaksha. Now let us go to the next sutra. Again, the same Adhikaranam, Dahara Adhikaranam. Anyarthascha Paramarshaha. 20th sutra, 3rd Pada, 1st chapter, 83rd running Brahma Sutra. So the argument of the 14th sutra, where this particular Adhikaranam started, and the same argument is continued here, and there is possible objection by Purvapakshi. So if the Upanishad does not want to reveal Dharakasha as Jivatma, and if it wants to reveal it as Paramatma, then why should the Upanishad bring in Vishwa, Taijasa, and Prajna and confuse us and avoid the three? It need not have talked about Vishwa, Taijasa, and Prajna at all. Purvapakshi asks, why the Upanishad brings these three? Why bring in Lakshyartha, Vachyartha, and talk in roundabout way? It adds to confusion. So since the Upanishad is using the word Jiva, Vishwa, Taijasa, and Prajna, it should be Jivatma alone and give the secondary meaning Paramatma, etc. That's what he says. If it had not revealed so, we would have taken Paramatma as a separate entity and there would be Bheda, would have been there between Jivatma and Paramatma. So the idea of division should go away. So division makes Paramatma limited. The moment you say Jivatma, Paramatma are separate, it limits the Paramatma. And therefore, Upanishad wants to say the Vishwa is Paramatma, then the waker consciousness minus waking experience is Paramatma. Even now, I, the consciousness, is Paramatma. I need not do the superimposition of body on the Jiva, and even now, I realize the superimposition. I am Paramatma only. I can realize the unlocated awareness, and the location belongs to the body. And I should know, minus the notion of location, I am Paramatma. With superimposing of the body and various experiences like Vishwa, Taijasa, Prajna, waking state, dream state, and deep sleep state, I get the notion that I am Jivatma, and the very notion takes me to samsaritvam. Once the notion of the body and its various experiences are dropped, I feel my very nature, the very Swarupam, which is nothing but Paramatma Swarupam, Paramatma status. Otherwise, Paramatma will be eternally Paramatma and Jivatma will be eternally Jivatma, and we will say Brahman is ever free and Jivatma is ever in bondage without any solution of getting liberation. Therefore, the essence of the sutra is what? The reference of Jiva is not to reveal that I am Jivaha, but to reveal the fact that I am not different from Paramatma. Now we will go to the word analysis. We have to rearrange the word slightly. Anyarthascha Paramarshaha is the sutra. We will make it as Paramarshaha Anyarthascha. Paramarsha means reference to Dharakasha as Jivatma in Chandogya Upanishad. All the mantras 8.3.4, 8.7.4, 8.10.1, 8.11.1, 8.12.3, everywhere. So even the word Jiva is not said in these mantras. But indirectly as Akshi Purushaha, Swapna Purushaha, Sushupti Purushaha, Samprasadaha, all these words, instead of directly saying Jiva, the Upanishad started to use all these words. Therefore, Dharakasha is referred to as Jiva in different words, and mainly here, the word Samprasada is kept in mind. So, Samprasadatvena Jiva Paramarshaha. Then, Anyartaha. It is meant for some other purpose. Anyartaha. It is meant for some other purpose only, which means it is not the purpose that you mention, other than the purpose that Purvapakshi thinks. It is not the Purvapakshi's purpose. Purvapakshi thinks that it is to show that Dharakasha is Jiva. But according to Siddhanti, it means that Dharakasha is Brahman, which is non-different from the purified Jiva, the notion-dropped Jiva, the enlightened Jiva, Jnani Jiva. So simply put, Jiva Brahma Bheda Nirashanat. So Upanishad wants to negate the difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. If they are eternally one, why should you do that? The Upanishad does not negate for the benefit of the Upanishad. But unfortunately, we have the notion of difference, and therefore Upanishad negates the notional difference, our notional difference, which is in the mind of the Jiva. And therefore, it negates the notion of difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. Swami Dayananda very beautifully says that equation, you take an equation. Equation can never be between explicitly equal things. Sometimes we don't think along these lines. Equation can never be between explicitly equal things. Equation cannot be between clearly different things. Equation cannot, because for example, if you say 8 is equal to 8, it's not an equation because it is explicitly equal. And if you say 8 is equal to 9, it's not an equation also because they are different. So what is the condition for equation now? The condition for equation is the two things should be equal, but not explicitly equal. There must be a seeming difference. Like what? 5 plus 3 is equal to 9 minus 1. It is not explicitly different because the left hand side we have 5 and 3. On the right hand side you have 9 and 1. And left hand side you got a plus, right hand side you got a minus. Therefore, seemingly they are different, but essentially they are one. That's a seeming difference, but essentially they are one. Similarly, between Jivatma and Paramatma, there is an Aupadika Bedaha, Upadi. Upadi Beda only is there. Vachyartha Beda. There is seeming difference. Jiva is superimposed by Upadis, while the other is not. Paramatma is not. Therefore, Upanishad has to reveal the Aikyam. And therefore, only Jiva has been brought here, not for any other reason. Therefore, cha, the word cha is in the sense of however here, not just and however. So we also did split anyartha. The anyartha also has to be split. The anya means other, another, and artha means purpose. So another purpose. Another purpose means other than the Purvapakshi's purpose. Therefore, the jiva is paramarsha, is for a purpose. Other than the Purvapakshi's purpose, it is for bedam nirasartha. To remove the Veda. Then the next and the last sutra adhikarana we will read. Alpa shruteriti chet taduktam. 21st sutra, 3rd pada, 1st chapter and 84th Brahma sutra, last sutra of Dharadhikarana. So in one more objection is being negated here in this sutra. First let us do the general analysis as usual. It's a simple sutra. The discussion of mantra 8.1.1 of Chandogya, where Dharakasha the small space obtaining in the heart is discussed. So what was that mantra? Atam yiditam asmin brahmapure daharam pundarikam veshma daharosmin antarakashah tasmin edantaham tadanveshtavyam tadvava vijignasitavyam iti. This mantra we read also earlier because we discussed this mantra in another context. Here the Purvapakshi Parshi's objection is what? Daharakasha is Brahman, is very evidently contradictory according to Purvapakshi. The word Dahara or Dahra, Dahram Vipapam Parameshda Dahra, so Dahara and Dahra both are same only. Alpaha, Dahra means Alpaha. Brahman means infinite or Mahat. So Dahara is Alpaha, Brahman is infinite or Mahat. So you, the Siddhanti, you say that Alpa Akasha is Param Brahma. That is Parichinna Akasha, limited Akasha, is Aparichinnam Brahma, unlimited Brahman. So Daharatva, Mahatva Yoho, Paraspara Viruddhatvat. There is difference between them. One is very small, Alpam. Another is Mahate. On the other hand, if you take a Jiva, there are several descriptions here for a Jiva. Jiva is described as a small thing, alpagyaha, alpashaktiman. Like a grain also, they said, all the examples. Shyamaka dehem, shyamaka dehevam, vriherva, yavovam, all those grains of the size of that only, Jiva was described. Therefore, small akasha can be a small Jiva. How can it be Brahman? That is Purvapakshi's question. Therefore, alpashrutehe iti chet. And Vyasacharya, he says, we have already answered these questions before itself. Still, I am going to remind you. Alpashruteh iti chet, that is Purvapaksha part. Alpashruteh iti chet, in this particular mantra, Stu Sutra, Purvapakshi's part is that much. Taduktam is Siddhanti's argument. Taduktam is the later part. We have answered this question. Answer is given by 1.2.7 of Brihadaranyaka Brahma Sutra itself. We have already seen that. In the first chapter, second padam, seventh mantra. Arba kaukastvate tadu yapadeshachya neti chete na nichayatvate evam vyomavachya. Seventh sutra, second section, first chapter. 38th running Brahma Sutra. That itself, the answer is given. He says, we have seen Brahman as Manomaya, resides in the heart. All this Manomaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, all that thing we should remember. So Brahman as Manomaya resides in the heart. Daharam and Alpakam are not synonymous. Since Manomaya is within the heart, how can we say Brahman is in the heart when it is all pervasive? This argument we already went through earlier. Then Alpam, when it is said very small. So here the Brahman is within the heart. That is what is said. And what we say, we correct the statement as Brahman is within the heart also. That is, Brahman is everywhere and Brahman is within the heart also. Even though Brahman has no location and Brahman is all pervading. And the scriptures prescribe location for Brahman for what? For the purpose of upasana alone. Brahman is located in the heart for the purpose of puja, meditation, for all those things only. So Daharatvam is superimposed for the purpose of dhyana and meditation and to perform puja, in the absence of which it is difficult to perform a puja. Just only without having any alambara, symbol, linga. So the word Vishnu means all pervading, correct? That Vishnu I worship where? In a small shaligrama. And even when I worship, I know Vishnu is all pervading. So also, Daharakasha means small akasha in the heart. Although the same Daharakasha is all pervading, Brahman, again, I know it is worshipped in the heart like this, like the shaligrama being worshipped for Vishnu. Now let's go to the word analysis. Alpashrutehe iti chet tad and uktam. These are the words. Alpashrutehe, one word. Iti chet tad and uktam. five words in the sutra. And the first portion is, as I mentioned, is the Purvapaksha's portion. And we supply two words, Dharakasha and Jivatma. Dharakasha, Jivaha, Alpashrutehe. This is the Purvapakshi statement. The meaning is Dharakasha, which is referred to in the Chandogya Mantra 8.1.1, is Jiva only. That is the argument of Purvapakshi. Alpashrutehe means because of the smallness of Akasha in the Shruti. Word Alpa does not occur in Chandogya Upanishad, but word Dahara is mentioned in the Upanishad. You have to understand that. There is no word Alpa in Chandogya. So that Jiva is small, that is understood and accepted by all. Iti Chet. Suppose such an objection is raised, and then Tat Uktam, answer to that objection. Vyasacharya himself has already given the answer in the Sutra 1.2.7. Smallness is superimposed for the purpose of upasana, invocation, meditation. Dharakasha is neither akasha nor jivatma, but it is Paramatma himself or itself, whatever it deserves. Now let us see the conclusion. So if you remember the five factors, Vishayaha, Samshaya, Purvapaksha, Siddhanta, and Sangati, all five factors. Vishayaha is the subject matter, that is the small space within the heart. Where it is given 8.1.1 of Chandogya, referred to by as Dharakasha. The doubt is whether the small space mentioned above refers to Bhutakasha or Jivatma or Paramatma. And what is the Purvapaksha? Purvapaksha A, number one is Akasha is primarily Bhutakasha, only elemental Akasha. Second is the later description of Atma, Vishwa, Taijasa, and Pragya, Atma, all those, they refer to Jivatma only. That is the basis. And the third one is Paramatma. And Siddhanta's basis what? Which we have explained already. So Upanishad very heavily supports us. That is the Purvapaksha supports that it refers to Bhutakasha and Jivatma. Siddhanta says Dharakasha is Paramatma, which is the conclusion. Then fifth is the Sangati. With respect to this, we say it is occurring in the proper place only. So this Adhikaranam deals with Upasyam Brahman only. We have to also understand each Adhikaranam, does it talk Nirgunam Brahman or Upasyam Brahman? See, it's Upasyam Brahman only. It has nothing to do with Jnanam, not Kyayam Brahman. It is Dahara Upasana only. And before going to the next Adhikaranam, let us see another discuss another topic also here, incidental topic, which Shankaracharya discusses in the Bhashya. And this is the first interpretation of the mantras 8.1.1 that we have seen now. And we will now see the second interpretation also, which Acharya gives. In Acharya's commentary, both interpretations are given. Hence, you know, he thought it would be good for us to look at both of them also. In the mantra 8.1.1, what it said there, Asmin Brahmapure Dakaram Pundarikam Veshma. We already read this sentence. So Asmin Brahmapure, within the body, Brahmapuram is Shariram actually, and Pundarikam means heart. Within the heart, there is a small space. Body is one container, heart is one container, and within the heart, the space is another container. So we have got how many containers? Body is one container, heart is one container, and within the heart, there is a space that is another container. And within the space, the container resides Brahma. So whatever is there, we have to inquire. So Upanishad uses the pronoun within that. That is the expression we analyze. Tasmin. We took again as the heart itself. And the previous statement is what? Within the heart, space is there. And whatever space is there, you should inquire into. So the object of inquiry is the space within the heart. And the second inspiration is what? Whatever is within the space, we should inquire. One is you inquire the space within the heart. Another is whatever is inside the space, we inquire. That's the second interpretation. So the object of inquiry is not the space, and within the space, whatever is there, you should inquire into. And Dharakasha is not object of inquiry. Because within Dharakasha, whatever is there, that is what to be inquired. Now let us analyze further on the basis of the second interpretation. What is that space and what is within that space? The later mantra analyzes the container and the content. It says what is inside is Dhaharakasha, and it clarifies Dhaharakasha is Brahman. And what is that within the Dhaharakasha? The content. It says the entire creation is the content. Within the Dhaharakasha, the content is the entire creation, the Jagat. The world is the content. So according to the analysis, there are three containers. What are the three containers now? The body, the heart, the Dhaharakasha, and within the Dhaharakasha, heart, and then the Jagat. That is the innermost thing. And then it is clear what is our inquiry is Jagat only. Because you are supposed to inquire what is that in that space, which is Jagat. So what is the benefit of this Jagat inquiry now? The second problem is, everywhere Upanishad talks about inquiry about Brahman. And now, why should Jagat need to be inquired? During the body analysis, we said Brahman is the object of inquiry. While talking about Uttarebhya, and in that sutra we said, we have said the Brahman is the object of inquiry. And within Brahman, Jagat is there. And the mantra talks of Jagat, Anveshanam, Anveshtavyam, all that we saw. So why do you interpret it as Brahman inquiry? Shankaracharya says that Jagat Anveshtavyam, when the Upanishad says, Sadharam Jagat Anveshtavyam. Sadharam means Sadharam. Sadharam Jagat Anveshtavyam. You should inquire into the world along with the content. The first container you need not inquire. Second content you need not inquire. And Upanishad says that the third container is inquired. And Tad is interpreted as Ubhayam, both. So Upanishad prescribes the inquiry of the world along with Brahman. And Shankaracharya manages to inquire Brahman as the object of inquiry, and he talks about Jagat inquiry. And why do you say Jagat inquiry along with something? He says, I have Shruti support and logical support. He has the Shruti support where? In Chandogya 8.1.6, the one who knows Atma attains everything. Tadyateha karmajito lokaha kshiyate evameva amutra punyajito lokaha kshiyate tadya ihatmanam anuvidya prajantyedakascham satyakamagum steshagum sarveshu lokeshu akamacharaha bhavati. Ataya ihatmanagum anuvidyam prajante prajantim. So etadakam satyakamagum steshagum satyakamaha and kamacharaha. All that thing we saw all those words earlier. Sarveshu lokeshu kamacharo bhavati. The Upanishad talks about Atma and the desires within. Atma refers to container, and the Jiva, Kasha and desires are the entire universe. Atma refers to the container. But Upanishad talks about Atma Sahita Jnana Phala. By inquiring into the world, there is no Purushartha at all. By inquiring into the world, do we get moksha? No. But Upanishad gives moksha palam, and therefore inquiry should take into account the adhishtanam also, not just the Jagat. So Upanishad talks about samsara sagara. Gita, Bhagavad Gita says actually in the 15th chapter, urdvamu ulamata shakam ashvattam prahu rabhyayam chandam siyasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavitam. They all talk about the imperishable Advaitam as having roots, the people tree having roots above and the branches below. Its leaves, urdhvamulam atachakam, and its leaves are the Vedas. And the one who knows this is the knower of the Vedas. In the first three lines, it discusses samsara vriksham. And in the fourth line, Yastam Vedasa Vedavite. The fourth line, it says, the knower of samsara vriksha is a jnani. We may have a confusion as how the knower of samsara is liberated. The one who knows samsara vriksham along with its root, most important. And here the root is Brahman. And knower of Brahman gains freedom or liberation. So not just the knower of samsara along with its root. The container is Dharakasha, and Dharakasha is Brahman, and you have to inquire Brahma Sahita Dharakasha. This we should remember when we read Sankara Bhashya. Now let us go to the next Adhikarana and the next Sutra. The next Adhikaranam is the sixth Adhikaranam of this Padam section is Anukratyadhikaranam. Anukratestasya cha is the sutra. That is the 22nd sutra, third pada, 85th Brahma Sutra. Let us do the general introduction of the small Adhikaranam. Here Vyasacharya analyzes the well-known Mundaka Upanishad mantra 2.2.10. This we all know. Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yamagnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. Popular mantra. This is repeated in Kathopanishad also in the second chapter, fifth section, 15th mantra. So it says the sun does not shine there, nor does the moon, nor does the star, nor the lightning, and much less this fire itself. When he shines, everything shines after him. By his light, all of them shine. That's what this mantra says. With respect to that Atman, the sun does not shine. That means when the question of illumination of Atma comes, that does sun does not shine means the sun does not, is non-luminous. The sun does not illumine the Atma. We change the verb from illumine to shine. With respect to Atma, the moons and stars do not shine. That means moon and sun do not illumine Atma. With respect to Atma, the streaks of lightning do not illumine Atma. Then what to talk of the miserable ordinary fire? So with respect to Atma, fire does not shine. That means this local fire also does not shine Atma, illumine Atma. Then tameva bhantam. In fact, Atma need not be illumined by anything because Atma is self-revealing, self-luminous, self-evident. Anything need not illumine these things, self-evident things. Everything else shine with the help of Atma. Everything reveals everything with the help of Atma only. Everything shines after Atma light. Atma shines first. And only when that shines, everything else shines. Shining here means revealing, not shining in the sense of shining, revealing. That means Atma has got Purobhanam, former, later shining. And everything else has got Paschadbhanam, later shining, posterior shining. After the first person, I, all other things and beings come into beings. First I say I, this is indicated by the word Anu. In this word, this Anubhati Sarvam, that Anu is indicated by that. That's a chronological order indicated by Anu. Paschat means. Similarly, when we say, for example, Ramaha Gachati and Lakshmanaha Anu Gachati. Anu always indicates the sequence. Prior shining is called Bhanam. And posterior shining is called Anubhanam. Therefore, Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam. Only when consciousness is evident as I, then on I can talk of everything else. Only when Aham Vritti comes, Aham, 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 only when that thought comes, thereafter only the Idam Vritti can arise. This is said in Shaddarshanam actually. Again in Upadeshara also Acharya says, so Vrittas Yatvaham Vritti Mashritaha Vritti Mashritaha Vrittayo Manom Vidyaham Manaham. Only when Aham comes first, Aham Vritti, then only Idam and Tat can come. Aham is first and everything else comes later only. So Anubhati. In fact, everything shines because of the light of Atma. This is the significance of the third line of this Mundaka Upanishad mantra that we just read. Then the significance of the four lines is what? Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. In fact, everything shines depending upon light of Atma alone. That means what? They do not have independent shining, independent capacity to reveal its own existence, all other things except Atma. I reveal my existence not because of anything else, and therefore I shine myself, and I do not dependent upon anything else for my shining nature. That Atma is self-effulgent, itself being not illumined by anything else. It shines itself. Therefore, what is the difference between the third and the fourth lines now? Third line talks about the posterior of shining of everything, and fourth line talks about the dependent shining of everything. Thus, Atma is self-effulgent, not illumined by anything else. And that is why Swaprakashatvam is defined as what? Sva itara aprakashatve sati sva itara sarva prakashakatvam. Sva itara aprakashatve sati means what? Itself being not illumined by others. Sva itara sarva prakashakatvam. Illumine all others. Therefore, the essence of this mantra is what? Atma Swayam Prakashaha. Self-effulgent, self-evident. And this is a very important mantra in Vedantic context. And from this alone, we get an important corollary also. Self-knowledge is not an event. It is a very important concept in Vedanta. Self-knowledge is not an event of the future. When I know this particular, for example, whatever I have, anything I have, that knowledge is possible because before knowing this, this knowledge was not evident to me. Whatever object I am telling, maybe the speaker or this light, whatever it is. So before knowing that, before knowing this, this knowledge was not evident to me. I know this object now. That means what? After knowing it, this object is evident to me. So what is knowledge now? It is a process in which I change an object from non-evident category to evident category. How Vedantins think, logicians. It's a process in which I change an object from non-evident category to evident category. Similarly, Atmajnana means what? We have to change Atma from non-evident category to evident category. But what the Upanishad says, Atma is never under non-evident category at all for a person to switch over to evident category by the process of knowing. Shankaracharya, in few important places, he says there is no such thing called Atmajnana itself. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, Anashino Prameshya, that so Antavantayime Dehaha Nityasyokta Sharirinaha Anashino Prameyasya Tasmadis Yudhyasva Bharata. And also in the 18th chapter, Bhaktya Mami Bijanati Yavandischaspi Tattvataha Tato Mam Tattvato Jnatva Nishate Tadanantaram. In all these places, Acharya brings out this idea that Atmajnanam is possible only if you convert through a process the Atma from non-evident to evident category, and Atma is never under non-evident category because it is ever self-evident. How can the self ever self-evident? Atmam, the Pratibodha Vidita Atmam, how are you going to know? Then what is Atmajnanam? Therefore Shankaracharya says in Upadesha Sahasri again, Sitta Devaha Mityasmat Yushmadharmo Nivartate Rajva Miha Ahidhir Yukta Yukhyam Tattva Mityadi Shasanaihi. Siddha Deva Ahamitya Smart. What is Atmajnanam? Shankaracharya says, Atmajnanam is the negation of superimposed limitations from the ever evident I. Siddha Deva Ahamitya Smart. It's already Siddham. Brahman is evident as I. Aham, Aham, Aham. But upon that ever evident I, Brahman, just as an elephant throws dust on its own dark body, we also, like the dark tamasic elephant, throw attribute dust and we don't stop with I am. And if somebody asks you who you are, instead of just only saying I am and stopping, we say I am, give a big bio data. I am a man, I am woman, I am this, I am that, all that we say, all attributes. I am MA, I am PhD, I am doctor, I am engineer, all that. We think bio data is our glory. But Vedanta says every bio data is an exposition of one's, I don't know what to call it as, it's a stupidity or foolishness. That's what Vedanta says. Atmajnana means I am full stop. I am full stop. I means the chit, I means the sat. Therefore, I am Satchidatmasmi. That is all. Therefore, Atmajnanam is not a peculiar experience one will get. Do not look for Atma Anubhava. What is the base of all this? We just talked about. Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam. All these are all corollaries of the particular statement. Now, when this mantra is so evident, why do you bring this to Brahma Sutra now? Right? Because that is another question we have to answer. If a mantra has to find a place in Brahma Sutra, there should be an issue. So if you say it's so evident, why you brought it to Brahma Sutra? What is the confusion here for bringing it to Brahma Sutra? The doubt is, in this mantra, neither Atma nor Brahman, that word is used. But instead, a pronoun, tatrais and all that thing is used to indicate Brahman. Tatra means tasmin, with regard to that. And in this context, we want to find out what do we mean by the tat sabdha. Tat refers to that because of which everything shines. And what is that we want to know? By the that tat in Sanskrit, that shabda. And here the Shruti says, tat shabdha refers to Paramatma only. So with this, the general analysis also of the entire Adhikaranam is over. Now we will enter the general analysis of the first sutra of this Adhikaranam. So tat shabda is nothing but Paramatma, the pronoun that occurs in the first, second and third line of the mantra refers to Paramatma only, because everything else has got posterior shining, while the mantra talks of something that has the independent shining or self-shining, Atma or Brahma. And because of its posterior shining of everything else, life principle is Atma. So here Atma is shown as the self-shining one. Actually in Chandogya Upanishad 5.4.2, fifth chapter, fourth section, second mantra, we see that Manomayaha prana shariro bharupa satya sankalpaha. So there it is, bharupaha means self-luminous. That term was used there in Chandogya, bharupaha, self-luminous. And why this quotation is chosen here? Because here self-revealing nature is shown here. Prior shining means self-shining. Here the word Anubhati Sarvam of the above Mundaka Mantra Kisam is used to show the prior shining or self-shining nature of Atma. And the second reason is because everything else has got dependent shining. Previous one is everything has got posterior shining, time-wise nature. And here everything shines because of borrowed shining. But Atma lends shining to others because that Shabda refers to the lender of shining. And that lender of shining is Atma Paramatma. So how should you understand this in empirical experience? Because this is what all Vedanta said. How do you understand the empirical experience? What do you mean by dependent and independent shining? These are all questions that we need to discuss and answer, that we will do it tomorrow, in the next class, next week. यो वेदादौ स्वर प्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य परस्य महेश्वरः।